a bit of a piss off. Like, now that I'm looking at like all this partition stuff, I go back to that World War One site where they listed all the Punjabis that fought in World War One, British India, and they're doing it like by Jila slowly. They're gonna release all the records of Punjab from then. So they did Ludhiana. What a mouthful! But they're just one pin short of my pin. And it's just short. It's like just one more pin. It's literally the next one they have. Ah.
Just talking? Well, what's the show about?
It's about nothing. It's about nothing.
I just want these guys to know you got another thing coming, bitch. I'm still around.
I got my non-key. I got my non-key on it, but yeah.
What is it? Gives you the details of all the soldiers?
Yeah. You get like name, who their father was, what their rank was, what battalion they fought in. And then sometimes you can actually Google the battalion and then see what, like,
who other people were in it, or who else was in it, and call them up. Be like, I know those people.
Where they fought, and what battalions they fought in. So like,
What website are you using?
I'll drop the link to you. It's PunjabWorldWar1.com.
Okay.
So the story was that these researchers from, I think, University of Essex, I want to say, in the UK, they stumbled on a big book of names in the Lahore Museum.
Okay.
And they're like, oh shit, this is like every person from Punjab who fought for British India, like Pakistan side as well, like nowadays Pakistan. They have all these names, so they did release Sialkot in modern day Pakistan now, like those names, Jalandhar and Ludhiana district.
So is it really just a process of them data entry? Like they got
data entry, exactly.
And as the data like, becomes entered, they...
There's some historians at work because like a lot of my non-key, they all fought in World War One. And they got like a lot. The idea was that you fight for the British and then you get awarded a lot of land. That was like the carrot, right? Mm. So like my nonke, they had, you know, Kulia Jamina, and they credited that to their grandparents fighting for World War One on my nonke side. So yeah, like legit, I was looking up all this history and then I got to talk to some of the researchers because I found old pictures of them. It's pretty cool. They told me like even more detail than that we even knew.
Wow.
I just went to my pen. That's crazy. There's like 40 names here.
Yeah.
That's so
that
cool.
Actually makes that saying make sense now, because there used to be the saying that I heard that I thought was cool, but I couldn't really figure it out, was like my great-grandfather fought in the war, so my grandfather could farm so that my father could work so that I could be an artist. And it's kind of right. And then yeah. Like, I heard that, I'm like, okay, it seems like a cool quote, but I didn't understand. This puts so much more context to that, because literally, your great-grandfather would fight in a war to buy the land so that the grandfather could farm, so that the father could go do a college degree or some sort of, like, MBA. Or what? And I say MBA because every This Young Client Meet has an MBA.
So that we could do a podcast.
So we could do a podcast. That's the antithesis of what brought us here.
Yeah,
so, you know, thank you for your sacrifice.
I guess that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it gives you the cast and community too.
Yeah, because it's so funny that they recorded that.
Yeah, it says, well, that's cool.
Yeah.
That is dangerous. You want me to tell you why that's dangerous? This is why it's dangerous. There's so many rumored people who change their quote, I guess, right? Like they were actually Sani or they were actually something else. But then at some point they started just calling themselves Jutt and they adopted a Jutt last name.
Really?
You can be like, yeah, so it's, and I know I've heard of people in predominant positions who were accused of this, like, yo, Asli Jaknisi, you know, they grandfather, they changed their name, and then this is what happened, but their great grandfather, right?
Yeah, people do that.
And so now there's like this, hold on, let's look you up. What was your great grandfather's name?
But like, even, like, what, we're going back to the what, 1900s, early 1900s, you can see the makeup of the band as far as like how many Sikhs joined, how many Muslims joined, how many Hindus joined. Like, you can see the breakdown because there's, like you said, Europe and yourself, it's 40 names, right?
Yeah, so well, I'm looking at my mom's bin now. There's like 50 something here. But,
I'm afraid of looking this up and being disappointed, like, what the hell?
You know, there's
so
just
it's
one
because
sort of
my
your
dad's,
mom's bin too.
yeah, my mom's bin, it was, they were always there even before partition. But my dad had, our family had, I guess, Jameen on both sides. So Dhaka was the ancestral, I guess, location. But we also were in Fazlabad.
Malabar Dhaka?
Yeah, Malabar Dhaka. But we had a little, you know, where our, I guess you could say our family home was, where my grandfather built his second home, was a town called Malkpur, which they, that was the land they attained after the partition. And when you click on that, it's all Muslim names. So
right.
It's pretty crazy, right? So it was
yeah,
a Muslim
because
band,
they all
yeah.
left after, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So just looking at it, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Interesting.
No, I find it very interesting, like all of this. I spent hours on it when this first came out.
When this come out, this is like literally the first time hearing about it.
This was just before we did start doing a podcast again. Yeah. I have an exchange with these guys. So November, actually.
Oh yeah, right.
That.
You were
November,
emailing them like
November 2021. No, well, yeah, but I sent him a picture. My mommy's grandfather. It's a cool picture of him. I'll drop it for you guys to check out. And they were able to give me like much more detail of like what his uniform means, what kind of rank he was in the picture. I know what he's in the diary, but in the picture. And then I got to look up his regiment and see where he fought.
That's pretty dope. I mean,
so there's, but what's interesting is that it's like all sing. It's all sings. There's no like Dhaliwal or Sekho. It's all the last name. Just they don't have that recorded.
Yeah, yeah. They still made a point to record caste, but
no. That I mean, I get that, but it was all, everybody was a sing. Isn't that interesting, right? But
yeah.
Generally, that name wasn't included. I'm clicking on everybody, just looking at it. Some people have it, but mostly it's Singh.
I'm actually really curious, but I'm gonna probably spend some time looking at this up. I couldn't find my pin here, so maybe it's not been entered. But
you're looking up your dad's or your mom's?
I'm looking at my dad's.
Oh, you know they haven't done. Amritsar.
Okay, that explains it. But yeah, no, super cool. What's going to be even cooler now is once we start getting like the advanced data analytics or the data charts and like the all those different representations that people like figure out and they download. I don't know. I find that kind of stuff interesting. I might even try to pull some. I have no idea how I want to, what other data I want to see, but
I mean, like surely the British have, they must have a lot of records even for World War II. Maybe not so much World War I, but World War II, they must have lots of records of documents on this stuff, no?
It's in like one of those bin folders somewhere that no. I think it's just comes down to data entry. Who's going to enter all this data in an archive?
Yeah, like they found this in the basement of a museum in Lahore. So who knows what else is out there, right?
Fair enough.
Talking about like old archive data, what is your data worth to you?
Like personal data?
So you have your phones. Your phones obviously have your pictures, whatever. Assuming there's not backed up, whatever. What's it worth to you if all that got wiped?
Ooh. I mean, my pictures would be the only real thing remember when we had hard drives, it'd be like all your songs and your music. And it's like, no, I don't want to lose all this. But now with streaming, you're like, whatever.
Yeah.
So I think pictures, I mean, they obviously hold sentimental value. You can't get those back. And
passwords.
Yeah. The worst case, cookies. What you do, you get new accounts, right? I mean,
cookies saved.
Browser history.
Browser history.
Why do you have that archive? Why do you have that archive? I'm curious. I don't even. That even crossed my mind. Why is this guy? This guy.
Bookmarks.
Ranjit has like this just giant file of text from like 2002 of all his cookies.
Pretty much. But it's just a pain in the ass. Like when you are trying to set up a new device and you're trying to migrate data over, like just thinking to going to that, you know, having a blank device, it's kind of annoying because you feel so limited.
But the question is, was it worth to you? Is that really that important? I mean, other than pictures, I don't really.
Yeah. Oh, you know, if there's a fire in the house, in theory, it'd be like, the cloud, like,
No,
nobody
the
cares.
I would passport, birth certificates, that's important
But that's more of
because
an
that's an
annoyance because you can redo that
that's a,
stuff.
yeah, but that's mad annoying to get done again. The phone is easy, right? You get a new iPhone, log in,
No,
good
but
to go.
okay. So let me put, like, we could say the cloud. You have all your pictures on your phone. Or let's f to simplify things, you have it all on a hard drive. That hard drive ceases to exist or whatever. But you know, you could pay a certain amount to bring it back. What's that like value now? Like you said, your pictures and all that.
Depends, man.
I don't know how to give
Yeah,
it a
throw a
dollar
value up
value.
there.
Yeah.
Sounds like if someone's if, you're saying if someone hacked my phone, is that what you're getting at?
Or
You know,
just
let's say
hack your
someone
phone in an
stole
easy
it.
way.
Stole
I
it. So
would
let's
pay
say
a hundred
stole it.
bucks to get it back. After that, like the effort's not really worth it. Or maybe 200, 300 bucks.
No, pictures, I'd pay a couple grand.
100 bucks seems really low. That seems almost
Yeah,
seems
man.
like, man, at that point, why even think about it?
But, like everything's already saved to the cloud.
No,
It
see
has
that.
no,
No,
no.
no.
I think his example is
My thing
let's
is,
say
this is your only copy of it.
here's a better way. It's you
No cloud.
have yeah, yeah. Pictures, man, they're sentimental. So like pictures of my kids, obviously to a point where you're like, okay, it's not worth it.
That's why I'm kind of
A
curious
couple of
what that
couple
value
of
is.
thousand.
See, I've seen
Couple
your
of thousand.
kids. You don't need to
Yeah,
spend
they're
that much.
gorgeous. They're gorgeous.
I'm joking. I'm joking. Okay, maybe a grand, man. Like,
Way to raise the bar there.
No. I mean, they're just pictures at the end of the day. I've put more of a preference on memory, and then by the time I can't remember shit, then pictures won't even matter either.
It's an interesting. All right, so I bring this up
Like,
not
I'm not the guy
because
on vacation who's like snapping pictures all the time. I just want to take shit in.
I've seen your
that's true.
Instagram.
Yeah, I'll snap stories, but I'm taking pictures.
Yeah, I guess you're
My
not.
wife
You're
does
just.
that.
Right? So
Well, here's a here.
Randy's whole thing is, well, it's fine if I lose my shit because my wife has a copy of her stuff that's
Yeah,
better
pretty much.
anyways.
Okay, so how much would it be worth to your wife? That's a better question.
Oh, man.
There's a better question. Let's say your wife had to get those pictures back.
I'm scared of how much money she would say we need to spend on getting it back.
At least be 20 G's minimum.
Reg. I think it's a cool, like, it's a cool 10K. It's without a thought.
Yeah, without
She'd
a
pay that
thought.
ransom, yeah.
Interesting. And I bring this up because I was recently extorted for this. And I can explain how and why I'm a dumbass. So I have a giant NAS drive. Cool. All my current stuff gets backed up to
Hello,
the
what?
cloud, right?
Time out.
NAS
What
drive.
is that?
What? Holy smokes. I'm really talking to idiots here.
My
No, I'm
man.
going back. So,
We're
you
the
know
idiot. You're
the.
the one who
I'm fucked. Yeah, that's a great. NASers are those big box hard drives they could like stick multiple hard drives in. And so it's.
Like an array kind of thing.
So, you know what an array is, but the
Ooh,
NAS.
I have no idea what NAS is. Array makes sense.
yeah.
Network attached storage. You can put an array of hard drives in. If any one of those hard drives die, your stuff's all good because it gets copied and back and forth and
Like
all that.
a raid setup.
It's a
One,
RAID
two,
setup,
three.
100%, right? It's like
Now
a.
I'm just flex. Now I'm just flexing. Like I know what I'm
Now
talking about.
he's just throwing out terms and making me even feel more guilty. So
Googling this.
I have a really popular RAID setup at home that I bought years ago. Almost, it's probably been here for like 8 years. Obviously, before Google came around, I started posting a lot of my like. Now all my stuff gets posted to Google, which is cool. But at the same time, I like local copies. And if you guys know me, I've been using like. I've been collecting stuff since like 2002 is my earliest stuff. And then I have videos and stuff just from around when we've been going on vacations, all that. And on Saturday, I was like, yo, let's. I was my wife's birthday's coming up. Like, let me see if I can make a cool little video for her. Say happy birthday. Found our wedding video. Haha. Yo, these are jokes. I should probably make my wedding video one day. Move on. Jumped in a different folder. Dot deadbolt on every single extension. I'm like, that's weird. Whatever. Just click around. Huh. What's a deadbolt thing? Google it. Apparently, it's a ransomware thing that affected this one vendor of arrays of network attached storages. And all of a sudden, my heart's saying, like, oh, fuck. But I'm like, how was I able to watch my wedding video on this? But all this other shit's fucked. So, whatever. I'm there. And now I'm like, It's 12 o'clock. I'm up till 5 a.m. trying to figure out how I can like recover my shit. These fuckers, while they encrypted a bunch of stuff, I'm guessing something failed and it restarted or I stopped it unknowingly. It happened back in July, so I didn't even notice that because I'm not going back in my archives of photos and stuff. But I see the date that is modified July 22nd. I'm like, oh shit, this happened a while ago. Started Googling. Apparently, this hard drive manufacturer sent out warnings back in January and March saying, hey, we found a bug. People are exploiting it. Upgrade your shit so you're not affected. I was like, fuck. And then I started reading forums and people are like, yo, they're asking for a grand to get the shit back. I'm like, I'll pay a fucking grand easy. But they didn't tell me how. Because my shit reset or stopped midway, they encrypted a bunch of it. And then I realized the reason they couldn't finish encrypting it was because I have a billion old website projects and stuff saved on that same hard drive, which have a thousands and thousands of like 0 byte files, like small files that take forever to encrypt. And so having that like screwed up the thing made it take longer than it needed to. But now all of a sudden, I don't know how to, I don't have the ransom note. So I spent like all the last 2 days just mentally like trying to figure out how I could figure out what their address is so I can pay them the note because I want the fucking pictures back, right? A grand for me, and I'm like, yo, give this shit
You don't
back.
even know what pictures you're missing.
No, I know what folders. Like, I have the folders of all the files that they encrypted. And so, a bunch of our old cell phones, I didn't even sort the pictures. I just said, here's our old cell phone. Take the SD card, memory card out, dump it on the hard drive. Old videos, pictures. Some of them I have backed up. I found like old other backups that I had from years ago. I'm like, okay, so I have everything up until 2017, kind of. But man, that's when it got me thinking. I'm like, I told my wife, like, look, they want $1,000 for it, American. I'm like, I'm just gonna pay, trying to recover this stuff. Go, and I don't throw anything out. I'm a hoarder in that regard. I have like a bin full of all my old hard drives. Like, I might be able to recreate some of this stuff, but some of the stuff I only backed up onto this is a hard drive collection because I was just like, yeah, it works, it's good, it's secure. And I used to back it up to the cloud regularly until one day I was like, man, fuck it, this thing's airing out. I don't want to figure these areas. So suffice to say, $1,500 for me, I was like, easy money. I'm gonna just pay it and get it done with. Except I didn't know who the fuck to pay. And
It's messed up, man. So, iCloud.
yeah, seriously. What's really stopping anyone? Shouldn't they explain this to me? What's stopping anyone from hacking, the Google Drive and locking everybody out, or iCloud? Is there like security just that insane?
It's not that there's stuff like they do get hacked here and there, right? They just have such redundancies probably built into their systems that say your iCloud got hacked, they probably have that backed up for you somewhere. Like, they just have
Yeah,
redundancies in place to
it's not
mitigate
one
some of this
location.
stuff.
It's spread up across multiple locations, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and but that's not to say that they couldn't get hacked in your shit. And this happened with one company where they're like, "Look, we're sorry, we lost a bunch of your data, but not their data. So you're one of the affected users. We really can't recover your shit. Maybe
No,
we'll give
but
you some monetary settlement for it, but a lot of times, if you
my
need a terms of
understanding is it can
service."
maybe. My understanding with iCloud, it could leak, like your information gets stolen, but the likelihood of it being missing is low, right? Because it's being backed up constantly, isn't it?
I mean, to a point, right? But like, say someone goes into
Let's
your
see. Yeah,
account and deletes
that's
all your
different.
stuff,
Yeah,
right?
that's different. If they get a control of your iCloud account and it starts, yeah.
Hitting delete, and that's a lot of celebrities got hit with those hacks where people were able to take over iCloud accounts. But to a degree, I think they say, look, we're able to restore some of the stuff that got deleted. It's in our virtual recycle bin that we storage in case of things like this. But a lot of those recycle bins, the way they work is they store it in garbage for like 60 days to a year, depending on whatever service it is. And then if you don't bring it up with them, their memory thing, it cleans it up because they don't have infinite hard drive space either, right?
Right.
So eventually they could theoretically be hit. There isn't the degree, but there's a certain trust of, hey, these guys are so on top of their shit. A second like a bug leaks. And here's one of the problems. It's not that the vendor I use, they released upgrades to their software back in January. I just haven't logged into it to like see, hey, you have a new update here, you should install this security patch. And I've been so disconnected from security news that I didn't even know that this thing was being hacked and exploited, right? And I was like, man, obviously, if you're doing it full time, you're always, every day you check in, you update it. But when it's a personal thing, you're like, I'll update it when I get to it. I don't have time right now to do it. So I swear to God, I saw that. And then I was like looking at the stuff that got hacked. Like, all the stuff in the last 3-4 years we have backed up into Google Photos because it's our cell phones. But stuff from when I was a kid now, I'm like, holy shit, that's valuable because there's no way to recreate that stuff.
Yeah. Exactly.
There's no one I can be like, yo, you remember that of that trip we went on? Do you have a backup? Because I know I was the guy who's keeping all the backups. So that's when I'm like, I wonder what this shit's worth. But
well, talking about getting hacked, I don't know if you guys saw the video. Why, Robbie?
I'm swearing on
segue. You don't like my segue?
That's one of the most awful, right. awful segues I've ever heard in my entire life.
I need to see where this is going. What are we talking about?
If you saw that video of that air quotes journalist, Mr. Mon, get attacked.
Hold on. Why air quotes? Why air quotes? He's a radio host. He's a journalist. No.
Is he radio host?
Yeah, he's
internet podcasts or something like that. We're not journalists.
Are you sure?
We are not journalists. We all agree, right? Just three guys on the internet. Buddy,
someone came up to me and they're like, a loyal listener to the podcast, always gives me great feedback. Shinda, man, you're a fucking idiot. I was like, what do you mean? Obviously. Why am I an idiot? I'm one of the smartest guys on this panel. you don't know shit about our current medical system, do you? Like, you know, I use my Hope card. They give me services. It's fragile. The papers tell me this. I believe it. He's like, bro, I don't know where I was going with this story. Anyways, suffice to say, we are journalists because we present information and people accept it. And
no, we do our research. We do go out. Like,
we do research?
I did. I went to a bunch of nurses a couple of years ago.
Hold up. By research, before this podcast starts, we open up a bunch of news articles, read the first paragraph, and say we know this topic.
Oh no! Okay, f off and fuck off, man.
We do what lawyers do. We just read a little bit and you know talk, right?
Bro, go on vacation. just leave. Just go on vacation. This is the hardest. This is, 1 month you're in Canada. It's so stressful for you, bro. Anyways, I don't call it research. I keep myself informed so that I can talk shit with you two. Anyways, this journalist, Mr. Mon, he got attacked. Like, it was pretty crazy.
Well, I wanted you to say what you were saying. He got hacked.
I'm getting there. He got attacked. Segway
makes sense. Holy shit. Great segue, by the way. I'm gonna give you that. Took me a minute to catch it.
So you got attacked with it was an axe and a machete. Like, it must not have been sharp, or these guys were like really shitty at what they were trying to do. Like, looks like trying to kill him, but
if they wanted to kill him, much easier way of doing it than what they were doing, right?
They were holding their punches, in my opinion. And I don't think they were holding their punches because they wanted him to live. I think they were holding their punches because this might have been the first time they tried to kill someone, and they're like, oh shit, this takes a lot more nerves than we suspected it would do.
I mean, who really kills by slashing?
People who don't have the money to buy a gun. You know how hard it is to buy a gun?
No. You're misunderstanding. If they have to
go to the store. If
they wanted to kill him, a kitchen knife would have been much more effective than what they did. They were trying to dismember him, essentially, right?
Brought like blunt ass fucking.
Yes, if you want like a kitchen knife to right to the throat, that's it.
Or they went to the flea market, bought a machete and an axe, which is not sharp at all, and probably decorative.
Hold on. They didn't go to the flea market, man. They went to Home Depot and fucking went to their outdoor section and saw what was on clearance.
Pretty much, yeah. And then they went down with that, with yard care fucking tools. Anyways, we'll get into like why or whatnot. Hope the guy recovers. I heard from WhatsApp news that he lost a toe and he has some severe injuries to his arm or something.
All things considered, that's a blessing.
That's pretty good. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know very little about the guy. Other than some random stuff I've seen.
I would just say the obviously that was shocking, the video, but at the end, man, his mom runs out. That's crazy.
Was that his mom? I thought that was his wife.
With the shoe.
With the shoe? No, it was his mom.
The shoe scared him off.
Because it was his mom.
How does that make sense?
It worked.
It worked 100%. It also shows that your mom will always care for you and want you to live no matter what the circumstance. Because if his wife was like, whatever. But his mom was
but
like,
his kids were inside too, man. That's crazy. Like, can you imagine how traumatic that is?
What do you feel about your house now? Because do you go back inside and think, oh, man, are you guys going to come back?
Look, if it was random, like, you know,
it wasn't random. Let's be honest.
No, no, I know. I'm saying if it was a random event that had happened to me, I would be paranoid constantly. That clearly was not a random event. That was clearly targeted. So it, like, it didn't really affect me in that sense. Like, I didn't go outside and think, oh, it's someone around the corner. You know, it's not like a serial killer going around the town because it's clearly targeted, right? That's I think there's more to that story than we know.
Well, so. what have you guys heard, or what do you think caused this?
I've heard a few things.
This is all rumors, so.
Yeah.
I need to talk to my lawyer about whether or not this will count as defamation of character, right? I've just heard that he's a journalist. So I've heard four different stories, which one I believe is, I'll get into that. I've heard he's taken very hard opinions against students on his show before. I don't know if that's true. Never heard of his show. I didn't even know he had a show, but apparently he has a show. Heard he's talked stuff about some trucker recently that some people said really upset people. Don't know if that's true. Totally fabricated, possibly. Also heard as a realtor, he's entered shady deals again. Don't know. But if I were to guess, the thing that would trigger someone to kill you would be losing a shit ton of money.
Or to send a message.
Yeah. If there's something, was he speaking out against drug dealers and naming people by name?
No, not that I know. I mean, I don't know much about him, but I don't think so.
I don't follow his show. I actually recently interacted with him only because I was at this charity golf tournament. He was, I guess, vlogging it the whole time. And that was my only experience with him. But yeah, Shinde, like you, I'm aware that he has a show. I've heard random clips where he's gone hard at the, you know, the students that were protesting the wage losses. So there's been times on his show that he's been critical of them. And now that, you know, apparently that was the only time I actually listened to any of his show. And apparently he has a trend of being very critical of international students. So when this happens, everybody's thinking, what's the motive? And, you know, this comes out that, oh, maybe it's students, maybe he said something wrong. I heard that random rumor about the trucking thing. He went and called up some truck driver. I don't know who would get that pissed to want to actually go at the guy with a blunt and machete.
And remember, it's not one person.
Three.
Right? Three people, right? Like, it's organized. So it'd be different if it was one angry guy, but it's a hit. It's just a bad one. So I don't think they're professionals either.
I'd love kids to hear the audio.
Yeah.
What did they say? So one thing,
I mean, if it was organized crime, he'd be dead. Let's be honest.
Right? If it was organized and skilled crime, yes. One thing I noticed, and this is a conversation I had about the video, was when he got into his Jeep, the guy shows up with an axe at his window. He opens the door to fight him off and gets dragged out in the process of that. Somebody hacks your window. What's your reaction? I said adrenaline will make you do dumb shit unless you really rehearse for it.
Stupid fight or flight, yeah. He should just like reversed out.
But maybe he was thinking he was getting carjacked, right? I mean.
But he was fighting, like, not getting pulled out the door, right? Like, he wanted to stay in the car when they tried dragging him out, so.
But maybe that's what he thought. They're going to steal my car. Like, that's the first thought. It's not like, oh, they're personally here to kill me. Right? I mean, it looked like a carjacking. Even when I started, I'm like, oh, they're going to take his car. And it's like, oh, they don't actually care about the car. They're just trying to kill him. So who knows, man? I mean, what would be your first reaction? Is just, you know, fight or flight. If you think they're going to kill you, you're going to fight back. That's it.
So, right. And I was talking about some, and everyone's like, this guy's an idiot. He should have reversed back. Who gets out and fights? And I'm like, low-key, I think I'm that idiot who would be like, I think I could take this guy with an axe.
Yeah, but like, I'd rather just run them over with my car.
Yeah, see, I don't think that far. This is why I get hacked, and
this is why. This is why when we talk shit about the wrong guy, you're gonna be in the hospital.
I'm the one who's gonna get fucked. I've always been that idiot who like doesn't react in the. I had a teacher once because someone uttered a death threat to me in high school. Said they're outside, they're gonna shoot me or whatever. And the first thing I did when I saw that person was punch him. And the principal at that time was like, "Dude, all things considered, let's ask your decision-making process right here. This guy called you, threatened to kill you, and your reaction to that is to punch him?" I was like, "Yeah." They're like, "Why? Your first reaction should be to call the police, tell someone, get authorities involved." I was like, "Didn't think he had it in him to kill me."
But so, that being said, like, it's pretty fucked up that someone is getting attacked for, let's say the rumors are true, something he just said online, for a take he has, you know? I mean, is Sick Coalition going to come at me next week when I go to the States because of what me being critical of them? That'd be pretty fucked up, right? So,
oh, that would be a good story.
Yeah.
One, I think you're giving yourself way too much credit. No, none of the members of Sick Coalition even listen to this podcast.
I think they listen.
It would be great for the podcast, so I'm all for it.
I'm all for it. Our broadcast numbers would have gone up significantly.
I will be in Michigan next weekend, Sick Coalition. I will see you there. but, you know, like, there should be a hardline stand, like, it should be a priority for the cops to make an example of these guys because, like,
it's that brazen. Kind of violence, it's, yeah, it's too brazen. It's too brazen. It's
too wrong. Yeah, that's pretty fucked up. This is not like the Will Smith, you know, you say something, you deserve to get a slap. Yeah, yeah. This is too much.
I mean, the carjackings were getting brazen. And that's why they kind of went after them too, right? So,
and I don't know if you guys noticed this, but the traditional media here picked up on that story pretty hard. And it's been a topic that I've heard for 3 days on 680 News. It's kind of come up where they're like, no one's been found. Police have released video. This, that, like, journalists, I just think generally, even if they don't know this guy or care about what he said, the thought that you could be attacked for something you write or say hits a nerve with anyone who's in that field. To the point that they're like,
looking out for cops, right?
Yeah.
Cops
so,
looking out for cops and media looking out for media.
Not even media looking out for media, but kind of that opinion of you shouldn't have to fear for your safety in Canada for talking shit. Or you're not talking shit, for publishing or having an opinion, right? For having an opinion that might even be... Like, if he's saying something illegal, obviously...
In other words, talking shit.
But yeah.
So I guess, like, even they're thinking, okay, it's probably due to something he said in an article never mind, he doesn't write. An article that, or sorry, something he said on his radio show or podcast or whatnot. I guess that's everybody's presumption, right?
Yeah.
So is that, like, Robbie, I know you wanted to talk about this. I saw a little bit about Salman Rushdie getting attacked.
Yeah. It's...
It was somewhere in the States. I don't know exactly what happened, but it was during him giving his speech.
It might have been New York. I might be mistaken about that, but I think he was presenting or doing something, and some, I think, 20-something-year-old ran up and stabbed him in the eye and a bunch of other parts of his body. And I think it was like 10, 15 guys trying to grab this attacker off him, but he's obviously been attacked for, I mean, what's the book called?
The Satanical Verses have just gotten to Robbie, who's been wiped out. But yeah, the book was called The Satanical Verses. It really pissed off the Ayatollah of, what's it? One of the Ayatollahs.
Yeah.
I think it was Iran.
They put a fatwa on him.
AKA, they greenlit him.
Yeah, and then Rushdie actually went into hiding for like 7 or 8 years, living in Wales under like a pseudonym, still writing, but he was in hiding.
And, pseudonym or pseudonym?
I don't know. Whatever you want to call it. Whatever makes you happy.
What is probably the opposite of what Shinda thinks it is.
Yeah,
I thought exactly. It was pseudonym.
I was just saying he used a fake name, so whatever you want to call it. And then he kind of became this weird champion for freedom of speech for the West, right? He's been knighted by the Queen and so on and so forth, and living in the States. But they never forgot about it, man. They never let it go, right? And I think there's been bounties put on his head. It's
So.
with money as well, right? You kill them, we're going to give you X amount of dollars. So, yeah, that's a weird one, right? Like, you
It's
know,
crazy
he
how.
and he's apologized. He's actually apologized multiple times about it. He goes, "I shouldn't have done it. I'm wrong," you know, so on and so forth. But no, that
No
was
forgiveness.
no forgiveness, right? So, but
This
that's what I mean.
movie
That
was
guy went
published in 1988. Wow.
88, man, yeah. And he stated as saying that wasn't his intention to like make anybody mad, but
He was just trying
you
to
know.
convey a message that got misinterpreted, or.
Well, he's it was a story. The book's a
Oh,
story,
okay.
right? So, and it just makes references to
Oh,
religion and
he's an Indian guy, eh? Is
yeah, he's
he?
from Bombay.
Crazy. And I remember there was a play not too long ago, and this is a weird comparison to make, but I remember it was about someone getting molested at a gurdwara. It was called Taboo, the play. And the reaction from the community at the time was very, very much fuck you. You can't be writing this play. People were sending the author of the play death threats. And it was something that just wasn't heralded. They're like, you, this is total fiction. You're not, why would you even consider this? Even if it, and the person's like, look, it is, and the author kind of came out and apologized to that same thing. Like, look, I'm sorry that this offended you. I wasn't my intent. The play got canceled, all that. But then it comes to the notion of, are you allowed to be offended to the point where you want to unfix something fictional, something that's like nonfiction, I guess, or something that is fictional to the point where you're putting hits out? Like, is that something cool? Fuck.
No, I
Or,
mean, look.
is the question, is there a place for forgiveness, right? You know,
I mean, obviously, we didn't, our community didn't put a long-lasting monetary value on this hit, or saying this author needs to get, you know, they got death threats at the time, but there wasn't like no fatwa from any religious leader here. But we do have some strong-minded people when this stuff is said. I got death threats one time for shitting on Bubba Mon Singh a long time ago. But I mean, at what point do you like accept this stuff? Like.
I mean, look, you can accept it. There should be freedom to have controversial ideas out there. Having an idea and speaking it and having discourse is not wrong. You know, I shit on missionaries all the time, but they're allowed to have their wrong opinion if they want to. I mean, there's even, I remember when I was a kid, there's this guy named Gala Afghana in the Sikh community who created all sorts of controversy. And at the time, you know, I was told he was just, you know, an idiot guy who says bad things and I shouldn't pay any mind to him. I only after I became a somewhat of a teenager, young adult, did I learn what he was saying. It wasn't all that controversial. I mean, it was out far-fetched, but like everybody's allowed to have their opinion. Going back to the point I'm trying to make is, you know, Salman Rushdie, Jyoti Mon, or anybody else who, you know, says something controversial, there's, you're allowed to not like it. It's valid not to like it. You can be pissed from a religious institutional standpoint or personally. But there's other ways to protest. I mean, an example that comes to mind is there was like a Terry Mleski type of writer out in BC. It's a lady.
Kim
I can't for the
Bolin.
life. Kim Boland, thank you so much. She wrote some sort of memoir or book, you know, Terry Mleski like about six, and she was doing a Canada-wide tour. And what people were doing was there were people who were against her book and didn't like her maligning the entire community would just buy out her tickets and just show up and fill the room. So the people she's speaking to are the very people that she can't, you know, wean to her side and that dislike her stuff, but and they're doing it because that's their silent protest. They think that her poison shouldn't be spilled out to, you know, people who don't know any better. So what are they going to do? Well, they're not going to attack her. They're civil. They'll just buy up her tickets. So whatever she says, whatever poison she's spilling, according to them, falls on deaf ears. Great way to fucking combat it. Or you can just leave it be, have your own platform, put out your counterpoint, and leave it to the fucking world to figure out what's right, what's wrong. This we gotta fucking, doesn't matter if we agree with it or not. It's we gotta say it's fucked up and really draw the line.
But to an example you drew, you mentioned Khalaf Garna. He got, you know, into some. He got excommunicated, but when he showed up at, in areas, he, you know, there was some ruckus.
Yeah, which, but we agree then. Like, you get excommunicated, and that's all it should be. You shouldn't really be subject to violence for no reason.
And like, even Tardignale, he was recently here, and when he, you know, people seemed like they wanted to protest when he was speaking even in private residence. Like, where do we draw the line? What's the accepted form of protests? Is it anything up to physical?
Yeah, anything up to like violence. So go ahead, like protest where he's speaking, or maybe at most, you know, like block the road so he can't get to his like speaking engagement or something like that. If you're that pissed and that inclined to do it, but like, come on, like, no one should be going after Donnie with a machete and a blunt axe. You know, I think we can all agree to that. Like, you don't agree with him, you don't agree with him. He has his own subsect of the community, and they like him. Let him be.
Weird transition. I'm sorry that I transitioned you to having to defend Tardignale in that regard. But
yeah.
Now we know Randy's real belief on that. I just wanted to get that on the public ledger there.
I don't believe we should kill him, even if he has like weird views. Yes.
Yeah.
But would a smack here there go?
You love smacks, eh?
I'm just saying, man.
I don't think smacks fall into violence for me. I gotta admit. Like, an open hand smack is like...
What if you smack a person and like, they fall over, hit their head, and it cascades into a serious injury? Then?
That's not really foreseeable.
Or if you get slapped on stage at a prestigious award show and have PTSD and mental health illness for years to come.
Then sue the person.
But it's not, I mean, it's just not a slap anymore. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, but somebody can have PTSD from a piece of paper being thrown at their head. We can all admit that that's not damage, but it could cause PTSD.
Hey, man, that's damage.
There you go.
Do you guys think, like, so we talked about Rushdie, but from, like, the Jyoti Mon example, do you think the community even kind of, if when the people get arrested or whatever, I'm pretty sure those guys are going to get caught. They didn't seem all that...
smart?
All that, I mean, not all that smart, but all that technical. When they get caught, do you think there's any sympathy for them once people find out what happened, or...
I mean, just like,
it depends on the reason, right? If it's something, you know, shady or something drug related, no one's gonna care. I'm like, all right, whatever, you know.
If it's something part he of said, being... it's he pissed no, off
then,
the wrong.
Then sympathy will come, because I think the community doesn't agree with a brazen attack in their community for things that are said on a podcast, be it about a trucker or students protesting. Like, think about like what the reasons and theories
protect
are.
Protect the podcast, people. That's the most important. That's the most important takeaway. Protect the podcast.
Actually, I had a question for you guys.
Randy, sorry, did you want to post your address just in case?
Yeah. Here's a question for you guys then right now. Say someone took heed with something you said on this podcast and they showed up and they, you know, got really loud or really belligerent with you. What's your reaction to that? Do you go, you know what, that's a dumb take, I don't want to be involved in this, I'm going to take that back? No. Do you double down?
I'm going to be happy. I'm like, yo, you heard the podcast?
Yeah.
Like, yo, what?
And you're so fucking villa and butthurt that you had to come here? That's so pathetic. Like, I wouldn't even engage in what the disagreement is. It's just, that's just pathetic.
I think people need to realize this is not a scripted podcast. There's no elaborate spreadsheet that we can go back to. We just talk. And if someone takes it that seriously and...
Yeah, we could have a bad
upset about it. We're having a... Yeah,
yeah, we'll figure it out.
We're having a conversation. Exactly. But, man, I'd be impressed. I'd be like, wow, I met the follower. I met the one.
Does that mean you made it? It's like you didn't make it until someone else tried to kill you, right? Wasn't that the...
Well, it's just hate you.
Hate you.
Kills a bit excessive, yeah.
It sounds like I hate those guys, but I keep listening every week. Huh? We made it.
Yeah.
I mean, we live in a wild world right now, man. I don't even know how to transition to this, but... So, weddings. We've talked about weddings a few times. Wanting to kill someone?
It's kind of... marriage, what? A birth, and a funeral? Is that how we're doing this?
Yeah.
Well, great transition. Well, I'll talk. I mean, I was at a wedding last night, and I think I was mentioning to you guys, man, I just feel like the sound systems have gone too loud, or we're getting too old because my ears are ringing still. It's been more than 12 hours. And do you guys feel the same when you go to parties? Are you kind of starting to feel the wear and tear? Do you get tired faster? Do you want to leave sooner? What's your,
If it's not my wedding, or if I'm not getting paid to be at the wedding, I generally don't like going to a lot of it. Like, there's just very little I enjoy about weddings. So I'm like, yeah, you're gonna do the nankara, you're gonna do
Well, hold on.
the.
Are you dancing at weddings?
I've skipped receptions almost all exclusively now because I don't dance. I don't like the food. I
Yeah,
feel
that's
like
boring. I mean, that is going to be boring.
if I know you enough that I know the people giving the speech and stuff, I'll show up. If I know you enough that I think, I need to at least show face, I'll. Sh The number of people that I actually think I need to show face for is very limited now. A lot of times I'm like, look, man, you can hate me or not, but I'm just not interested in wasting my time coming to your wedding.
This is another
Yeah.
episode of how shouldn't that makes friends?
Or lack thereof, right?
Yeah. Ranji, how about you?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of weddings.
Oh. I'm
No,
joking.
no,
I
no, no.
know.
This.
I love weddings. Weddings are the best. Yeah, no, I enjoy them. I am on the dance floor. I do like the food. I've hacked the buffet line system. So no, I'm happy. I like going to different types of weddings. I went to
So
an
any
Albanian wedding
as
recently.
you
That was cool. I told
as
you
you
about it last week. Yeah, but I agree. They are getting bigger and more decadent.
get, which is weird. You thought COVID would actually reverse that trend.
I
You
did
know,
think that.
my feeling or my inclination was like, oh man, everyone's gonna be more a little bit more budget conscious. They're really not gonna overdo it. They're kind of used to small sizes. No,
They're coming
go
back
bigger,
bigger
go
and
yeah.
louder.
Go the louder for sure. It's go big or go home now, right? So,
You know what? Like, Robbie, I give you credit. You're like one of the first people that did the tractor picture for your well, what do you call
yes,
it again? The
he shoots,
he shoot, he
I think
shoot.
that first of all, you're probably one of the first like group of people
No,
that did he shoot.
I'm sure I copied someone else, so I wouldn't
And
take the
then and
credit.
then you did the tractor thing, and then that tractor thing was like huge for I think it's even around till now. But you were a departure from what people did in the 90s. 90s weddings were you get
No,
married in
but
the morning.
my party was actually quite standard. I didn't we didn't go over the top.
You get married same day?
No, second day to the
Oh, so
wedding.
easy. So they did a 2-day wedding, right? That's the new trend. Compared to the 90s. So you did 90s was 1-day wedding, evening reception. Because of like the timing, they're gonna get there at like 8, 9 o'clock. There's a bunch of balloons on the ceiling at some point. All the kids are waiting for it to fall down. The
The
balloon
string of
arch.
balloons are balloon arches.
Balloon arch. Okay, and
No, no.
people are
So,
pissed drunk.
90s weddings, international banquet hall, Lodi's
Yeah,
banquet hall,
Lodi's banquet
standards.
hall,
So,
pretty
if you
much.
if that
File
was
was up to there.
pile was up there.
Yeah.
I think for me now, I got married in Chandani. If you get married Chandani, it's a pretty standard affair. You know, good food, very good venue. But if you're getting married in one of these like fancy Italian banquet halls out in Vaughan and there's caterers, then I'm like, oh yeah, you're at another level now.
Let me be
You know?
clear. These are Italian named banquet halls
No,
owned by
no, no.
Indians.
I'm
Owned by
talking about actually,
Desis.
no, actual Italian halls because the caterers are coming from out. What's it called? Like the host. I remember going to a wedding where the host was catering the food.
Right, right,
So it was
right.
a Le Jardin, I think it was. This is back in the day, though.
That sounds like an
But
insurance company.
the no, there. It's
No, you're
where is
talking
it?
Desjardins. Yeah, he said
That's
Le Jardin.
Desjardins.
But,
But the food was catered by the host, so I'm like, okay, that's a another level,
Yeah.
right? Yeah. So I think if you're still getting
I've.
married, if you're married in Chandni today, you're
But
still pretty standard.
the point I want to make is like, it's like that idea that our parents have that the kids of the next generation are lazy or not wanting to work. And that's like something, a faucet of time. Every generation thinks the next generation is a bit lazier. Like us, weddings get bigger and bigger, but what you were doing, somebody who got married maybe 5, 6 years ago might have been like, fuck, Robbie's wedding is like a rave. A
I was
whole separate day, a whole second day. Who does this guy think he is?
No, I think
you're ruining my whole weekend. Now weddings are weekends. Look, it's like a week long thing. That's probably what somebody said about yours, right? This is too decadent, too long. And now we're saying that these weddings are too big. Like now there's like bars set up in the middle of the dance
floor. Yeah, they got the cocktails and all that.
Right?
Yeah.
The cocktail show. You know, what upsets me is like all these like dancers, and it should only be Bhangra dancers. I'm joking. I actually love it. Big fan. But yeah,
I don't like the MCs though. I ain't down with the MCs at all.
Hey, I agree. I'm all for it. You should have someone from your family, someone who's close to you, be the MC.
No. I'm okay with anyone. You have. It's the voice. It's like it's a wrestling match constantly. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, it's like just tone it down. Like, you know, calm it down a bit, and it's, don't have to yell at us all the time.
If they don't do that, though, people will keep talking over them.
Yeah, and that's what we want to do. We don't want to hear them.
Fair enough.
You're getting paid. Do your job.
Weddings have definitely gone louder because I was at a wedding the other day. It was a money actually, and then I had to put in earplugs. Someone was kind enough to give me earplugs. Like, here, use these. I was like, and for them, it's like, yo, it's just an occupational hazard. You got to put earplugs in when you cover these events.
Dude, you can't. It's gotten so loud, you can't talk to the person next to you.
I think that was always the case because I don't remember. I remember you have to go outside to talk. You can't talk to someone inside.
So back when we're talking about 90s parties and Lundi and International, was the double-decker speakers at the corner of the dance floor that you avoided at all costs because your ears would be done the next day.
Oh, you didn't go stand next to
them? Well, I try not. I mean, it's loud, right? So then what happened? And Halls started incorporating the sound systems into
the building.
Into the building, I think. Not Versailles. What was that other one near Versailles?
Apollo?
Whatever. And Mississauga Hall started getting them and became the big thing. That was okay because you could still sit and there was dead spots due to the acoustics where you could actually sit and talk. It's like someone complained about those dead spots. So these guys just pumped up. You can't stay in the hall now. You have to go outside into the foyer to have a conversation, which I think it's too loud.
You know what's crazy about this stuff?
It sounds so old.
Old man.
No, because even so, the one thing I would say that, look, the music's gotten so much better in the last few years. So many big songs to dance to instead of going back into the retro Punjabi music all the time. But there was no bass. I don't know if you guys noticed that lately. There's not as much bass in the music, in the speaker system. It's a lot of treble, and that it just feels way too loud. Whereas before, it would be a lot more bass. You would actually hear the drums and the music. But now it's just like sheer screeching. So I think it's either me getting old and my ears are changing, or they're just cranking it up. So
I don't know if this is a very Toronto-specific change, but it was a cool thing that I learned was, and there goes Robbie again. Brother, just plug it in. One thing I noticed, or one thing I learned was, so one hall did it out of, we're brand new, we're going to do this stuff. A lot of the hall speakers, lights, everything was covered for and paid for by DJ companies. These groups said, hey, we're going to do this for you. We're going to cover this. You're going to have a great ass sound system, but we want a cut of every DJ who comes to your hall and needs to plug into it.
Or they have to hire one of our DJs.
It's freaking brilliant.
It's an upsell. Yeah, it's a great upsell.
Whoever came up with that business model, and now apparently it's like four or five DJ groups that have various halls set underneath them. And people, if you care enough about who's going to DJ your wedding, you got to either pick one of those venues or... I don't know. I just thought it was a very... One, that now that I say it out loud, sounds very mafioso.
Do you guys still feel like the DJs play an integral part of the party? No. I'm not saying, sorry. You need to have a standard DJ, a DJ who knows what they're doing. But remember there was like tiers of DJs? Like if you got this DJ, it was so much better.
But now
I think with all the music, if you listen to all the production and the beats and the sounds, it's really not hard to mix a lot of this music. It's not like you're mixing, you know, some Nog by Jazzy B and then converting it to UK beast artist. It's all sounding similar, right? So I think it's easier for DJs to put it together.
I still think you need a DJ for those who care about like dancing and having a good party.
Yeah.
You need to have a DJ who can read a crowd,
Fair enough.
can change the music according to the crowd, doesn't have their set like playlist and whatnot, right? And like set go to routine, and is adaptable, right? So there's some DJs, if you tell them to play like old school Punjabi, they'll play Jazzy B and they won't play,
Old
older
school.
tracks. Yeah, they
They don't
won't
know.
listen to old school. Exactly, right? They think, okay, Jazzy B. So yeah, I think when it comes to a typical Monna wedding, you might not agree with this, but like DJ, booze, food,
No,
all have.
food is paramount.
Yeah, like
No,
those
food
three
is,
things are integral to a good
but
reception. So
food,
no one gives
food
a
is.
fuck about your decor, what
Yeah,
you
no,
wore,
or your
who your
entrance.
MC was, or your entrance. Exactly.
Nobody cares.
Okay, so I'm gonna just, I think music, no argument for me that it's one of the most primal or integral parts of a wedding. And I think everything you said about a DJ being able to read a crowd, I think you have tiers of DJs. The $2,000 DJ, he knows his music. He has a certain skill set that he can provide. But I think if you go to the $6,000 DJ, if a good party's what you really want, and I've been to parties where, a DJ might mess up a little bit or slip up a little bit, get lazy, whatever you want, and the dance floor starts emptying out. Everyone's like, okay, now's a good time to go get food, this, that, and he has to like bring the party back somehow, right? And I've been to parties, and to Randy's credit, I think his wedding was probably one of the first I saw this, was where the dance floor just didn't die. And maybe it's just the people that were at your wedding are big dancers, your family, friends are just were the dance all night type crowd. Or maybe it's the DJ knowing this is what everyone's vibing to. I'm not going to kill the vibe by throwing this random track on. Because that's what usually I see happen where everything's going good, everything's going good, and one track comes on and they're like, okay, well, let's go grab.
I think it's a combination of both, right? You can have great music, but if your family aren't like dancers or don't actually like dancing, the
Partiers.
floor, yeah, you know. But if it's like if you have a family that like my family loves to dance, same thing happened at my wedding, but the music was so good that everybody just stayed on, right? Like you took a break, maybe you got some food, but there was always a good amount of people on the dance floor. So it's both. If you have people want to dance and the music's crap, nobody really wants to dance, right? So.
To my, I'm lucky enough that I have a lot of friends who like to dance. Even the ones that don't, like, they will make the effort if I'm dancing. So it was two part, shouldn't they? That I think pe the dance floor didn't die. One is I had a great DJ, which I thought was important. Shout out JJ, J Static. Maybe you have heard of him. And then the other thing was, and I'll give this advice to anybody who wants to have a fun dancing wedding, if that's your thing, is as a couple, don't leave the dance floor. Then wherever the party is has to come to you. If you leave the dance floor, your dance floor dies.
Right, words of advice to that. Actually, that
Just
sounds makes sense.
rest
But
really think high of yourself, yeah.
one thing I'm going to disagree with you on is hall food is, because all halls make the food internal. No one allows you to bring outdoor food or bring an outdoor caterer in to cover the thing. Hall food is very, very much across the board. And I've been to a shit ton of halls. It's very much about the same thing. Like, I don't think people go saying, hey, this hall has great. All hall food gets very oily.
No,
Because,
there's
time out. I have to say something first. Because when you're going to have shai paneer at hall one and shai paneer at hall two and then shai paneer at hall three and that's all you're going to eat, then yes, it's more or less the same. Okay?
Yeah, kicking the vegetarian down for no reason.
I've had
Actually, no, I know I disagree. So I think for vegetarians, if they really love the food that and they have more selections, like look, if he goes, he's gonna have dal makhani, he's gonna have a shahi paneer, and maybe some sare hoya sabji that he gets, naan, so on and so forth. But if someone like decks it out and there's a like, bunch of palak paneer, this, that, you have a lot of choices. You're gonna remember then. You're like, yo, these guys had a lot of options, right?
A lot of food options. And even when you're selecting a hall, just getting the best deal shouldn't be the only priority. Knowing like, yo, what kind of food this person puts out,
Okay,
has to be on your mind.
we all know one hall. We all must know one hall where we don't eat the food. I know my hall. I'm not going to mention it, but I know the hall that I don't eat the food because I get sick every time.
Almost across the board, I don't touch hall food, or I do touch it, but I go very light. Is just because it's all oily. They all it all. If I did a blind taste test from hall food, I guarantee you it wouldn't be what you think it was. I'm really confident that a halt would just across the board
No,
is.
but if it, what I'm saying is, if it makes you feel sick the next day and you don't feel well, that ruins the memory of your party. The first thing people say, oh, the food sucked, right? Or, then it's the music and then so on and so forth. But
And I say this because I've been to, weddings where they had a lot of food. They did exotic things with the food, or they presented the food in fun ways where maybe they just didn't have a north-south buffet. They put buffets in between. But I know when we did our wedding, we said, "Hey, we need your chef to understand that food is the only thing people really care about in our wedding right now, because we're getting a lowest end DJ. We're not really a big party family, but everyone's gonna want to eat. So make sure the food is top." And they promised us, and food was decent, but in hindsight, man, like if you put a lot of the wedding hall food together, it all kind of has that same oily, greasy feel to it.
you just defined Indian food.
But it's
Oil and grease.
done so much more. I don't know. I just can't touch hall food right now. I just
Yeah,
we've
no wonder you don't go to any parties, man. You don't dance.
I think the food's always gonna be average. And I don't blame the hall. I think it's just they're
How
cooking
about
for
the
such a.
appetizers? The appetizers, you must notice a difference from the aloo tikki and to the chaat papri. There has to be a difference for you.
Not between
That's
halls. They're very generic.
wow.
Shouldn't they recently, the one that you and I attended, like they had a charcuterie board in the middle thing for appetizers.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't touch the charcuterie board, obviously. It's cool that they did it, but I don't think that is.
I took notice of that.
You took notice,
Yeah,
but
or
taste-wise.
no, when I got married, they had just started doing that cocktail thing where they come around with the food
Look,
on the tray. Like, that was a
okay,
big
I
deal.
give you credit for starting one trend. You don't need to take credit for
No,
the
I didn't
whole
start
thing.
that
Here's the thing. My favorite trend, and I know John Lee started it. John Lee had the best mango lassi, mango
Mango,
shake, whatever it was.
yeah, man.
That was a John Lee thing. All halls have it now, and they're all about the same.
Well, it's mango lassi.
Yeah, you can't really mess it up. But I'm just saying, like, this stuff all blends together after a while, and I don't think any hall. There's no hall that I think, hey, this hall has the most amazing chef. Was because if they had an amazing chef, that chef would have fucked off and made a freaking 5-star restaurant, or made a decent restaurant killing, right? These
But
guys are.
what if it's catering? That's what I'm saying. What if it's an external restaurant or a chef that's catering the event and the food is at another level?
I don't think halls
Or
let you do that though.
it's a restaurant that's opened up a hall,
That
and
too,
they're
exactly.
and it's that same chef. I don't know,
Yeah,
man.
it's the
Like
same chef.
I went to the one with Sweet Mahal. They opened I guess, a hall. The food was great.
Sweet Mahal, Avani guys, they have their own
Hold on,
halls.
who's Avani's hall? I love Avani food. Who's Avani's hall? And are they putting the same food quality out at the hall?
Yeah, they have two halls now. I only went to the one in Woodbridge. It's good food.
All right, well, I stand corrected, but all the halls I've been to recently, more not from just being there, meh, meh.
Fair enough.
So everybody save on your per plate price when it comes to Shin. Don't invite him. He doesn't care to come.
Your food is not going to impress me if it's being presented to me at a hall.
Fair enough. All
Quickly
right,
going
guys.
on. Are we almost done?
Yeah, let's move along.
All right, I want to move on to a lighter topic just because we're reaching the tail end of what we wanted to talk about today.
You clearly got triggered by this banquet hall talk.
Yeah.
No, it's the food, man, because
Was it too heavy? Was this too heavy a conversation for
the
you?
food's too heavy for me. And this is coming from someone who had a shit ton of Taco Bell yesterday and has been digesting it, right? So maybe you don't want to take my food criticisms too hard, because I do sometimes occasionally enjoy Taco Bell. A study was recently put out by, or an article by the National Post, which talked about the things that Canada ranks worst at. They're like, you know what, as Canadians, we love blowing and tooting our horn about the things we're top in. Let's go over some of the shit we suck at. And there are some interesting notions here. I just wanted to go over some of these with you guys to see what you guys thought. So we have the world's most expensive wireless costs.
Yeah, that's pretty fucked up.
We
Who
suck at
put out this list, by the way?
National Post.
National
Okay.
Post accumulated a bunch of lists of things that Canada sucks at and wrote the article of this is what Canada sucks at kind of thing. Because every other article is like, hey, Canada's number one in flowers, or Canada's number one in whatever. This was kind of like a nah, Canada's has some really shitty things. So I was curious what your thoughts on were on the things that Canada does suck at. So yeah, wireless costs, I think across the board, we all agree. We probably pay more than everywhere else because it seems that way anyways to me.
What else is on this list?
What
I mean, I think
else?
we're all ingredients to that.
We have the lowest rate of acute care beds among peer countries. So
Oh.
that's.
Then, yeah, okay, yeah, I can agree. We're a publicly paid system.
Got some struggles there. But a few of our peers would be publicly made systems too, like
I think there's one for me that's glaring. That's a glaring one that's across the. Our public transport is just second tier to everywhere in the world. Any major city you go to has way
Ottawa's
better.
good, Vancouver's pretty good.
No, I'm saying compared to the world, right? You compare our public transport to London, to New York, to name first world.
No, but our as in Toronto's?
No, all of Canada. Compare it
No,
to.
I think that's unfair. Yeah,
You
that's.
think you guys think other cities do it as well as London and other big
No, not as
or
well.
Europe?
But we're nowhere near the worst.
Who
Yeah,
would be
like.
the? I mean, first world nation.
Yeah, but
You
like,
can't.
look.
You're not gonna
The
compare
Vancouver
it to.
SkyTrain. The Vancouver SkyTrain is pretty freaking bomb in terms
Which
of being
is
able to
better than
connect.
public transit in like LA,
Yeah.
for example.
And then Ottawa's busing system, I think, by
I
far is one
Ottawa's
of.
system is nuts.
I still think
Nuts.
we're still not on par with Europe.
I
I don't
think
think we're
you're
I don't
comparing
think we're in
us,
close.
but you're comparing one city to a whole country. You got to compare countries as a whole. Like you're saying London, name one city that's better than
Okay,
London.
I mean
But
for our
what
country,
about.
we don't have a high speed rail going across our country. I mean, this is basic things, right? We don't have a rail going from here to Ottawa that's fast enough. It's the Via Rail. Let's just compare that to a normal train in the UK.
But you're comparing countries that are less than the size of the GTA to
So
us.
frustrating, yeah. Look at this landmass size.
Yeah.
How
Doesn't
the fuck are
matter.
you like? How can you compare Amsterdam's
Yeah.
To what?
to
To Toronto?
like
You're
you
comparing
could.
like Italy, for example, to
Italy
Canada.
trains are great.
Yeah, they're great, but they need that. They actually need that infrastructure and train to move people from
So,
that in
but
that.
you don't think within our province in Ontario we need a better transport system?
I mean, we can
We
fly
do.
between our provinces versus what some other countries can't. You can't fly between
We
cities
do, but
because it's.
their highways also suck compared to ours too, Robbie.
Yeah, fair enough. But our flights are twice as expensive.
Yeah,
You're
I
saying
agree.
flying's wrong. Flying is
No,
crazy
no,
expensive.
flying is crazy expensive in
I'm
Canada.
what I'm saying is we're not good at getting people around compared to the relatively even highways. You want to talk about highways? Look at the states. The
Even
states highway system is awesome.
there's this really popular airline reviewer. He basically flies on airlines. They have new planes, new seat configurations, new menu, and he just goes on and makes a vlog on them. He just this week did Air Canada, and he's like, it's a great flight, whatever, good product. But he's like, as a Canada, I have to say this, Canada as a whole, I have never seen him do this. Here and there, like he said, Canada as a whole, your airfare is just too expensive. Flying is impossible here. He's like, you guys got to figure out what to do. Maybe like see if they're being overtaxed or there's not enough competition, but that's wrong. Like I've seen him do that once with Pakistan, like PIA Airlines. He's basically like, yo, it's outdated. They're same with Air India. But he never
Well,
really like shits on a country. And he actually like went out of his way to do that. I was like, fuck man, it must be really bad.
I'm
Like that's
still
the
not.
perspective you need.
Truthfully, I'm still kind of surprised that this is what's on your YouTube subscribe list is airplane reviews
Yeah.
nationally. I'm kind of impressed. Like everyone has their thing. The fact that this is your thing is interesting to me. But.
Sam Chewy, look him up.
Other things that we ranked really bad in, we had two of the planet's bubbliest real estate markets were located in Canada, with Vancouver and Toronto.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
That
think
was a
most of us
Canada.
agree that, like, yo,
I think
shit's
San
kind of.
Francisco would be a pretty big bubble too, no?
So, like, San Francisco was what their, I guess, ratio of measurement. They had San Francisco at 0.74. They had Los Angeles at 1.2. They had Vancouver at 1.6 in terms of like overvalued. Toronto 2.2. So Toronto was overvalued more than Vancouver and New York by a lot, actually. New York was 0.5, so okay. We racked up COVID debt faster than anyone else.
We just gave money away, that's why.
We gave it
Like
at
Oprah, you get some, you get some, you get some.
And now the CRA is out here trying to ask for money back, which
give
I don't know
back.
How that works.
Give it back. Give it back.
It's like, in hindsight, you probably didn't qualify for that. Please give it back.
How the, military?
I'm going through this.
Probably the worst.
I'll get there
yeah,
eventually.
Military, military spending has to be up there.
We'll see if it's up there, but Port of Vancouver is almost the most inefficient in the world. Only being outdone by Long Beach and Los Angeles. Hold on, no.
I know somebody works there.
Yeah. Most inefficient. Actually, now that you mentioned, I think I'm going to paste in this article. But yeah, Port of Vancouver, one of the third worst in the world for inefficiency.
How about construction?
Brother, can't you're asking me questions. I haven't gone that far down the list.
How big is this list?
I mean, I'm midway. Toronto Pearson is the world's most delayed airport.
Right now,
but
it's
getting better. I think it's getting better. I've had family come in from the UK.
It's getting better, yeah.
Who got through and everything, and they were out the door within 20 minutes. There was no delay. There wasn't the I gotta hang out here for another 2 hours type of thing. So I think Air Canada having half their flights made a big difference. Because now the staff there can handle the load coming in.
Exactly. I've heard that too.
That was the initial problem.
Yeah. I don't know how to measure this one, but we have one of the world's worst economies for foreign investment.
I guess that's weird though. Because you thought
we have like some of the lowest corporate taxes.
Yeah,
in
corporate
the world,
taxes. Right? Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah. So I'm not going to go too deep into. Yeah. Okay. So we all agree that's a little surprising because I always thought all the housing problems were caused by how easy it is for foreign investors to buy housing here. We drive the most fuel inefficient vehicles in the world. I mean, we have a lot of land and a lot of people driving big trucks. It kind of goes part and parcel with just the space, right?
Well, the fact that we have to drive so far because we don't have public transport.
Let it go, sir. Yeah, anything here surprising though? I guess they didn't have anything related to construction. They didn't have anything related to...
No, just Montreal construction in particular. With it. The roads never
are
seen.
Famous, eh? Yeah.
Yeah, that's famous. So they never get finished. So
I feel like Toronto's always had that myth of there's two seasons in Toronto. Construction season and...
Winter.
So,
well, mind you, I was driving down Highway 10 today. I'm interested to see how fast they get this LRT put in. Because they're working at it, man. But let's see if they actually get it done on time. So that'll define it for me. They said 2024. I think it is the fall of 2024, but it's Canada, so it might be 10 years from now.
The GTA tax also on governments changing and things happening. Anyone you guys want to shout out? Any big winners? Any big losers this week that you think deserve mention?
Trying to think.
Obviously, I hold the biggest L right now for fucking getting my hard drives hacked. And
I want to give a bit of an L to Dougler on that B thing.
That's an L?
I think so, yeah.
Flinch. Just swallowed up that B.
Dude, ain't that B like a boss? Coughed, took a drink of water, and got right back to business.
No, no, he ate it like a Boston cream. Let's get the analogy right for the Dougler first, all right?
I don't like this fat shaming going on right now. I think we need to be... There's nothing wrong with enjoying Boston cream donuts.
He thought it was a honey cruller.
Yeah, no, that was a really weird press conference, news conference. I don't know. Fine. Maybe don't give an L. That's, I guess, the highlight of the week for me.
Yeah.
I got nothing else. No L's.
Yeah. I got no real winners. Quiet week. No real losers. Yeah, it was kind of a quiet week. Kind of lucky in that regard. Oh, bro, I got another L story. But Walmart taking quarters back in their fucking shopping carts. You guys know that?
Are they losing that many carts?
I don't remember when I last put... I remember growing up, it was a staple of going to the grocery store.
Yeah.
But then it kind of just got phased out because I think they started putting some sort of mechanism in the carts that would lock the wheels after a certain distance.
It has a boundary, yeah. Yeah.
But the fact that Walmart's putting quarters in... And this was a Walmart... Like, this is a Walmart on Mayfield and
Bramley. It might be just people just taking carts, not using them to their... Like, they could just use a basket, so... If you really need a cart, you're going to put a quarter in. It saves time and money outside for the guys to collect the carts.
Maybe that's
what it is.
They're just
I mean, there must be a reason for it, right? I don't think it's stolen carts.
I think it's what you just mentioned. It was the guys who had to collect the carts. This encourages people to return the carts.
Especially in winter, right? If you don't need a cart and you have like one thing in the cart and you're going to the checkout and you take
Right.
that all the way to the car, there's no point in doing that, right? So.
But this is where my backward ass happened. I went there. I was shocked to learn that I needed a quarter to put in the cart. Someone who pays almost exclusively with a credit card had to walk back to my car and look for change. Found a quarter and a toonie. Went back, put a quarter into one of the carts. The thing didn't unlock. Tried to put it in a little harder. Nothing happened. I'm like, shit, I just got a quarter stuck in here. Thinking, oh, maybe it's the wrong denomination. Maybe this takes a toonie or a loonie or something. I overheard a kid tell their parent, hey, I need a loonie to put in the cart. So I'm like, oh, my dumbass, I need a loonie. But I don't have a loonie, I have a toonie. So I walked over to the Tim Hortons, asked them to break my toonie. They said, sorry, sir, we can't open the register without you purchasing something. Looking at the menu, I said, look, give me a one Timbit, just one Timbit. I'll go and make do. She gave me two, sweetheart. Love you for that. That's nice of you. Gave me my change. Walked back to the cart. Noticed the cart that I had originally put a quarter in, gone. Or someone found a way to get the quarter out and jacked my quarter. Tried putting a loonie in there. Loonie didn't fit. Called my wife. She's like, you idiot, it's a quarter. Jammed a quarter back in a different one. It unlocked and I got my groceries, but
I mean, I don't blame you. It is frustrating to see. It's like, you know, when you go to fill your air in your tire now. We're so used
oh.
to the so we're so used to the tap, yeah. And now when you see one that doesn't have it, it's just coins only. You're like, what? How come they? And they you know what? They should implement that system, kind of like you know the carts at the airport used to be. Do you remember the ones at Pearson? You'd have to put quarters in or a dollar in it. You have to roll it out.
And you get it
They should
back.
just do that with a tap. You tap your thing, and it releases the gate. You take your shopping cart, and you put it back. It just refunds your credit card or whatever it is. You're good to go, right? Easy enough, but you
Trying to take the credit
know.
card processing fee on the 25 cent or dollar
Yeah, that's
hold.
good. That's a good point. Pass it on to the customer, right?
Yeah, this is a step backward, though. I agree.
All right.
I
Please,
wonder if
if
it's
you.
just no, but it'd be interesting if it's just Brampton.
All right,
And
I
then
think
we say,
we.
and then we say it's discrimination, and get Walmart to pay us.
I think I gotta go to the Walmart up out in Milton or Oakville and see what's going on there. Just
Nah, man,
to.
Orangeville. Orangeville is the real test, or Georgetown.
All right. Does Georgetown have a Walmart? I thought they
I don't
just
know.
went Brampton.
I'm just talking shit.
All right. On that note, man, thank you guys for listening. Obviously, please continue to subscribe and share our podcast with your friends. It's working, man. We got a. Our YouTube metrics were up this week. I was, feeling myself. Maybe it had something to do with our title and our topics, but hey, if you like us, and please don't try killing us, man. If you really don't like something we say, we are open to criticism and you telling us we're an idiot. And if you're intelligent enough, we'll have you on and tell us we're idiots live. So,
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with that, yeah.
yeah. So, hey, till next time, cheers, boys.
Peace.
Peace.